This evening, as we gather here, we want to talk about a subject that needs to be addressed. It's one that has affected many congregations of the Lord's Church over the last few years, and more recently becomes prevalent not to involve this when a man gets up to preach. I am proud to say that there are many places where you can guarantee when you gather with the church in a certain location, you will hear book, chapter, and verse preaching. Our text this evening is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, and deals with the man speaking and how he ought to speak and what he ought to speak. Our text says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The preaching found in the New Testament, as well as faithful preaching today, is distinct and it's unique. I say that from the standpoint that the first century preachers of the gospel were under the obligation, according to the text we just read, to speak as the oracles of God. They received their information directly from God through the Spirit. And they were to speak as the oracles of God. And as time went on and as things were written down and they were recorded for us for antiquity, as we have in our Bible, they were to preach from the Bible. And therefore, we have the term book, chapter, and verse preaching. They were told, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, that they were to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and nothing I know that is better than the Word of God. This was and is because Christianity is ruled by one. It is ruled by Jesus Christ. He has all authority. And if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, we will see the proclamation of Jesus Christ following his resurrection to his disciples. He said to them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And when one has the authority, they give commands, they give direction, and we are to follow that direction. If you come to an intersection in which there has been an event, not necessarily an accident, but some sort of event, in which the policeman is there and he's directing traffic, and your intention is to go directly, straight forward on the road that you're on, so that you might meet up with the interstate, and the policeman is standing there directing you to turn. He has the authority to do that, and you follow that authority. Now, you might very well realize that, well, now I'm off the beaten path, and some people are that way. If they know how to get to a place, they have to drive that way. I often confuse my wife by going different ways. And she says, "We've never been this way before." But we always end up at the right place. Well, see, I have the authority to do that because I've got the wheel. I'm turning the car where I want it to go. And sometimes, I'll just admit, I get a little turned around too. But with a good memory and GPS, I get to where I'm going. And so, we have that situation there. But when we are talking about our service to God, our proclaiming the truth before men to God, we must realize and understand that Jesus Christ has all authority. He told them, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And so we see that the things in which we are to preach, the source of that is from Christ, the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we find out that he has that authority. We know that as Paul was writing to the brethren in Ephesus and he was telling them these things so that they might understand that they are to appeal to the highest authority. He said to them, "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Now, as we are part of that body and as we gather ourselves with that body, we must realize and understand that the preaching that occurs within that body should be book, chapter, and verse preaching. Jesus articulates his authority through his word, which is the New Testament. I want you to turn with me to 2 John chapter, I'm sorry, there's only one chapter, verses 9 through 11. And you will see the authority and how we are to understand that authority to be carried out. We find there, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And so if we have those who are preaching and teaching and doing something besides book, chapter, and verse preaching, they are not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. They are transgressing. And if that is the case, they have not God. Notice the next part. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, that is a clearly stated fact. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, what if someone comes and they begin to put forth a doctrine that is different? If they're coming into you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. And if you are a partaker of his evil deeds and he is transgressing the law, you too are transgressing the law. The Apostle Paul made every opportunity to preach the soul-saving seed of the kingdom. He used every opportunity that was made available to him to proclaim the word of God. When he was in prison, when he was standing before kings, when he was standing before governors, when he had opportunity to speak, he spoke. And what did he speak? He spoke as the oracles of God. In James chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, we see direction regarding us and how we are to speak. Out of his own will, or of his own will, begat he with us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. When we understand that book, chapter, and verse preaching is being done, we are to receive it. It is the engrafted word. And notice the power that it has. It has the power to save our souls. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, Jesus Christ is telling his disciples about what happens. It was one of the parables, the parable of the sower. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. In other words, this that was sown in their heart was on this wayside soil. There was no place for it to take root, and it's easily taken away. Is this confusing preaching? Are we saying here that the devil can snatch the word out of your heart? No, but he can cause us to be confused by the other things that are done and the other preaching that is done by those who are not preaching book, chapter, and verse preaching. Luke in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, wrote regarding Paul's activities when he arrived in Thessalonica, and he came to the synagogue of the Jews. Notice what he says regarding Paul. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Jesus is the Christ. Paul's preaching was authoritative, and he used Scripture. Well, now, how can that be? Was the Scripture written at that point? Why, the Old Testament Scripture was. the Hebrew scripture was. He confounded the Jews at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Acts chapter 9 and verse 22. And he did so out of the scriptures. Why? Because that was what was given to him. We did not have the New Testament scriptures revealed then. So the scriptures were the Old Testament. In the same vein, we see in Acts chapter 18, verse 28, Apollos, of whom we spoke last week, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scripture that Jesus was Christ. What scriptures did he have? The Old Testament scriptures. But we also must remember that God's treasure was in earthen vessels, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. What do we mean we have it in earthen vessels? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It is not the man's preaching that is the power. It is the words that he preaches, and the words that he preaches are to come from God. The New Testament was being revealed by men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, as Paul sat down to write, he was told what to write. When he got up to speak, he was told what to speak. He was directed by the Holy Spirit. Paul himself was also revealing Scripture as it was given to him by the Spirit, in addition to quoting Hebrew Scripture. In other words, he was being given what would become the New Testament Scripture, but he had also the Old Testament Scripture, of which he was well versed, and he used these things to preach and teach. In other words, he was preaching and teaching the gospel. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. He said, which things also we teach, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We talked about that in our Bible class this morning. But notice the source, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. We see that talking about Timothy, how he had learned the Holy Scriptures. But from what point had he learned them? So then that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you, what scriptures had Timothy known from a child? It had to have been the Old Testament scriptures. But what could these scriptures do? Make thee wise unto salvation. How? Because they told of the coming of the Christ. They told of the fact that the Messiah would come. And they told of the plan of God that had been pronounced since the beginning of time as we know it. Sometimes the argument is advanced that the preachers who revealed the inspired word did not literally provide book, chapter, and verse when they preached. Well, it was impossible for them to do so. We need to remember that the Bible was not divided into chapters until 1240 A.D. The Hebrew Scriptures were divided into verses in 1445 A.D. and the New Testament in 1551. I will grant that at the time that the collection of the Psalms was in existence, and they were separated as they were written. A Psalm was a short, in many cases, gathering of ideas and thoughts as were directed by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the early preachers who are referred to as inspired did refer to the particular book in the collection of the Psalms, and sometimes they did not. I take you to Acts chapter 13 and verse 33, where we see God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And so we see here a reference to the second Psalm in Acts chapter 13. Now we go to Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 31. We see, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath unto him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this beforehand, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. There's been a lot of controversy over this particular passage of whom is speaking and what exactly is being said. But the point I wanted to make was that David wrote concerning Christ. You see, all of this came from God, but all of the preaching was still scripture focused and scripture oriented. It was once asked of a popular preacher in the church why he seldom gave a scripture reference. His reply was, "I don't want to appear legalistic." This preacher, who is now among the top sought after preachers in the brotherhood, the churches of Christ, actually plays down scripture and inserts himself instead. He does not even at times extend the invitation. Of course, the invitation, such as I will extend at the end of this sermon, which includes belief, repentance, confession, and baptism, because such appears legalistic. But it should. It should appear legalistic because it is God's law. It is what God declares that is to be done in order that we might lay hold on eternal life. And fortunately, we have the scriptures. I do not want to bind where I have no authority. But why would we not want to literally provide book, chapter, and verse? Especially since we have the chapters and verses divided for us. Is it not the proof or the evidence for what we preach? Why do you preach baptism? Well, God said to be baptized. Where? It's in the Bible. Where in the Bible? Well, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38. Among other places, 1 Peter 3:21. Now I have definitive proof in which I can open my book and say, see, here in the Word of God, it says, it teaches. It has been my observation that one of the initial signs of apostasy is to de-emphasize the book, chapter, and verse in the pulpit. It's been my observation that when this occurs, that changes are coming. That changes have been coming. And they began first in the mind of men. And they are put forth from the pulpit. And then the people say, amen. And they realize way too late they have been led away from what is right. When we cease preaching the word, we cease preaching Christ. I'll show you evidence of that in God's word. In Acts chapter 8, verses 35 and 36, we find when Philip was told by the Spirit to go down into Gaza, he was told to do so for a specific reason. And he, as we understand what had occurred there, he approached the chariot, and the driver of the chariot, or the Ethiopian eunuch, says, as he was reading the scripture, ask him a question. Or he asked him to come up into the chariot first. And it began at the same scripture that the man was reading. In verse 35 of Acts chapter 8, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now the scripture that he was reading did not use the words Jesus. And we do not know what exact words that Philip used, because the Spirit chose not to declare them unto us. But we know that he preached Jesus and he preached baptism, because verse 36 says, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And of course, we know that the answer that was given, we know the confession was made. We know that they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. The pulpit establishes the pace and provides direction to the local congregation. Why do we say that? Because it's true. I have often commented about congregations that will hire a particular kind of preacher. The truth of the matter is, a congregation will hire the kind of preacher they want. If they want somebody to get up there and tell jokes and be pleasant and funny and amusing, that's what they'll get. But if they want somebody to preach the word, that's who they'll get. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, we see the Apostle Paul. He's approaching the time of his departure from this earth. He divulges to Timothy, through inspiration of the Spirit, words that ought to be not only to every preacher, but to every Christian. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Notice this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Notice the proclamation or the thing that was said to him first. Preach the word. Not how I feel about it. Be instant in season, out of season. When it's convenient to preach the word, preach the word. By all means. When it's inconvenient to preach the word, preach the word. As a general rule, there must be changes in the pulpit before large-scale apostasy can occur. Many places tonight would not allow book, chapter, and verse preaching because it convicts those who hear. Therefore, we should never apologize for book, chapter, and verse preaching. I often am guilty of using way too many scriptures, people say. And I understand that. I understand what they're saying. It's hard to keep up. I know at one time, I got up here and I preached and somebody said to me, and they did so in kindness and love, I couldn't keep up because you used too many scriptures. I went back and counted. And there were 30 scriptures in that sermon. And it's easier for me because I have them right here in front of me. And so what I have tried to do is to scale that back and make sure that we understand what scriptures are being used and what those scriptures are saying. And so my intention as we continue to go forward here in this place is never to apologize for book, chapter, and verse preaching, but to try to present it in such a way so that all come to a better understanding of what God would have us do. What would God have us do in regard to our soul? He would have us understand his plan of salvation. And the reason we know that is because he has given it to us in book, chapter, and verse. He says to us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17 that we must hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we also understand, according to Mark 16:16, that we are to believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we see that we are to repent. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we know that gift of the Holy Ghost is the promise of eternal life. Romans 10 and verse 9 teaches us that we must confess, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And somebody might say, well, you know, I've done that. I've confessed. I've repented. I've believed. And according to Romans 10:9, that I shall be saved. But we can't discount what is said in 1 Peter 3:21 when it comes to baptism. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then once we have done these things, friends, according to book, chapter, and verse preaching, we are children of God because we've been baptized into Christ. We have contacted the blood of Christ in the watery grave of baptism, and we have risen to walk in newness of life. We must remain faithful unto death. those saints in Jerusalem is depicted in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, had awful things going on about them. They had the fear of death because they preached. Book, chapter, and verse preached. He said to them, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Tonight, we all are looking for that crown of life. How do we receive it? We are obedient, and we continue to be obedient. What does book, chapter, and verse say to you? It tells you where the scriptures are found. It tells you what we are to do in order to lay hold on eternal life. And I ask you tonight, have you done those things? Have you been baptized into Christ? If you have been baptized into Christ and were once a child of God, you're still a child of God. But if you've allowed sin to come between you and God, you are in error. And if you are in error, you are to do as was told to Simon, the former sorcerer, in Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. This evening, as we open our song books to the selected psalm, I want to ask you, are you living according to book, chapter, and verse preaching? If not, won't you come as together we stand and sing?